Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. This is where we talk with people helping struggling teens and young adults. I'm Alon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at my website, strugglingteens.com. Now, today is September 16th, 2016, and we're going to talk about dieting eating disorders. My guest is Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland. Good morning, Dr. Nina. Good to have you here.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, we're going to talk about one of your favorite phrases you use, cracking the code of emotional eating. And why don't you start off and tell your little story? How did you get into having a practice that's almost exclusively devoted to eating disorders and dieting and all of that area?
Well, this actually began when I was 5 years old, when I suddenly randomly became obsessed with the size of my thighs. And I was a completely normal weight, even a little bit skinny kid. And so there was really no reason for me to suddenly become obsessed with my weight. And this became an obsession that got worse as I grew older. As a teenager and even into college, my last thought at night was, what did I eat today? And I fell asleep counting calories and fat grams. And if I gained a pound, I was devastated. If I lost a pound, I was euphoric. So my entire life was focused on what I was eating and not eating. And I would alternate severe restriction and deprivation with binging, with purging. So I basically went from anorexia, bulimia, binge eating disorders.
Wow, what a burden to be living with, this, particularly as a kid.
Yes. When I look back now at my diaries, every page of every journal is just filled with numbers, just fat grams, calories. I remember going on hikes with friends, and instead of enjoying the beautiful day and the hike, I'd be thinking, okay, how many calories am I burning? Things like that. I mean, it really consumed, if you pardon the expression, it really consumed my life. And so finally, I went to therapy, and I went every week for 3 years. I don't think I missed a week ever. And I shared with my therapist my, you know, friend issues, my goals, my dreams, my fears. I was open with my therapist about every aspect of my life except one. I never, not once, told her what was going on with food. I never talked about my patterns of, you know, starving and binging. And I was too ashamed to admit it to anyone, even my therapist.
So this was
and
just,
then slowly
this,
and
this was just general sessions you did.
Yeah.
How did you approach it? What did you ask her for, or the therapist for?
She had, well, I was sort of anxious, and I didn't know what I was going to do with my life, and you know, I had guy problems, I had parent problems, I had, you know, it was just sort of a general amorphous anxiety that I went to her to help with that. So she had no clue that I was dealing with what I was dealing with, because I hid it very well. Mm-hmm. So in therapy, I started to become aware of feelings I denied, and I learned to process emotions instead of denying them. I used words to comfort myself instead of cookies, and I learned to talk to myself in a very supportive way instead of criticizing myself. And by the time I left therapy, all my disordered eating was gone. Totally gone. And not once had I ever revealed to my therapist what was going on with food. And a lot was going on.
Yeah. Let me ask a question here. How much credit do you give the therapist for that if she didn't even know what you were working on?
Well, the thing is, she was working on the real problem without even realizing it. And I realized that the problem was not food. It was my relationship to myself, my mean and toxic stance with myself. And as that changed, and I learned to cope with difficult situations in a new way, everything with eating changed. I thought it was the problem. It was actually a symptom of the problem. And so also, now, why later on, when I became a psychoanalyst, I started to think, why at age 5 did I suddenly get this idea about myself? My mother was, you know, like a ex-hippie college professor, and there were no magazine, like there was no glamour magazine in my house, and I wasn't looking at models, and I wasn't watching TV. So why did this happen? And I came to realize that as a child, I was constantly being told, "You're too loud, you're too boisterous, you're too sensitive, you're too much," was the message. And that somehow unconsciously in my little five-year-old brain, too much became literally too much me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this really highlights just how much of a how much internal conflicts and emotions that maybe you're not even aware of can influence eating issues and other things.
So the food is incidental in this whole thing in eating disorders. It's something going on inside you.
Exactly. And it is, I actually like to say it's a solution to the problem. It's just it's a frenemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a friend in that it's doing something for you. It's helping you in some way, but it is an enemy because it's also hurting you.
So that's the code that you cracked at that tender age, I guess, what's really going on with these issues. So you went on and got your education and wound up working in that area?
Yes, I really wanted to bring what I knew to so many people who are struggling with food, whether it's clinically diagnosable eating disorders or just people who have an unhealthy, unhappy relationship to food, as with people in my online programs do. They wouldn't necessarily say they have an eating disorder, but they definitely have disordered relationship to food.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to bring a deeper understanding that also mitigates shame, because it can be very shameful to deal with eating disorders of any kind, which is, of course, why I didn't tell my therapist what was going on.
I imagine you didn't tell anybody.
I didn't tell anybody. And now I tell everybody.
Well, that's one of the things you learned in that. So tell me a little bit about your practice and what have you found, and elaborate a little bit more on, actually, if you could come up with a couple of generic case studies of clients that you've had and how they got through that, made that breakthrough that you did.
Well, I will tell you one really interesting moment I had with somebody, because it always stands out to me, and I've had many interesting moments, but this one is particularly clear because it highlights how what's unconscious or out of awareness but not operation influences us so much. So this woman came in and she said, "Dr. Nina, maybe some of your other patients are dealing with, you know, emotional conflicts or, you know, emotional eating of some kind, or there's something going on with them inside that's showing up with their food." She said, but she told me she was a food addict and that furthermore she could prove it. So I said, "Well, do tell." And she told me that she'd had a very good day the day before, she'd had a nice day at work, and, you know, maybe even got like a promotion of some kind. I mean, she had a very good day. And then she was, as she put it, she was chilling at home, watching TV, when all of a sudden, she said, Ben and Jerry's was calling her name. She said, "Calling my name. You don't understand. It was calling my name." Nothing was going on. Nothing was bothering her. She was absolutely in a good place. And Ben and Jerry's was calling to her. So clearly she was addicted, she told me, to Chunky Monkey. This was her proof. So okay. I said, "Well, let's look at this a moment." I asked her what she was watching on TV. And she said it was Charmed, her favorite show in the world, Charmed. So she was so happy watching Charmed, chilling out. And I asked her what the episode was about. And she started to tell me it's when, like, the devil comes and the sisters fight and everything gets really contentious. And at that moment, she stopped and she got this look of enlightenment on her face. And she said, "Oh, now I get it." Because at that moment, she realized that watching this show had activated her own sister issues, of which she had significant problems with her sisters. But before it could even reach awareness, before she even knew she was bothered by it, she went right to the fix, which was ice cream. That was what soothed her and took her away from it. And then she got mad at herself for eating ice cream, Chunky Monkey, But who do you think she's really mad at in her life? Her sisters. So that's really an example of how, if we were just talking about ice cream and she'd been to other treatment and people would say, well, when you want to eat ice cream, count to 10 and snap a rubber band on your wrist and take a bubble bath and all this nonsense that doesn't help, because the problem was not ice cream. The problem was what was motivating her to go to ice cream. So I really help people find out, well, what's eating at them instead of focusing on what they're eating.
And
And
so you found that virtually everybody that has an eating disorder of some sort, that's the pattern. There's something eating at them that they're not necessarily aware of.
exactly. And by the way, I should also say that there's a difference between overeating and, say, binge eating or binge eating or emotional eating or whatever you want to call it, because overeating just means eating too much. And there are lots of causes for that, like Americans on Thanksgiving, right? National Overeating Day. Overeating often has to do with the food itself, not the feelings. Just people just eat too much of whatever and then they regret it and go, oh, I shouldn't have eaten, that last piece of pizza. Oh well. But someone with an eating disorder will say, oh my God, I can't believe I ate that last piece of pizza. I'm horrible. They turn against themselves. So binge eating is a way of coping with something psychological through eating. And so whatever that psychological piece is, that's the true root of the behavior, like my patient with Chunky Monkey. Now, it could be emotional, but it could be something else. So cracking the code of emotional eating isn't just about identifying what feeling you're trying to distract from. Lots of people are familiar with the concept of emotional eating, but it could be lots of different things. For example, it could be a way of translating emotional pain to physical. So often people say they ate so much that their stomach hurts. And when we delve deeper, there was something going on with them, painful feelings that were converted to physical sensations. Or to fill an emptiness. People feel lonely, and then they eat symbolically to fill themselves up inside, which is interesting when you consider some of the phrases we use in our vernacular and our culture. Fulfilling relationships or hungry for love. There's so much a way that we connect food with people and feelings and relationships.
Okay, well, we're about out of time, but I have one more question. What would be your advice to the person that's listening? And maybe they're concerned about it. They think maybe they're eating too much, or there's some sort of problem, or it's full-fledged, but they're not, they're shamed. What would you suggest they do? First step.
Well, that to remember that they're trying to help themselves in some way, and to be curious, not critical. That it and it's not about willpower. It's not about any of the things they may think it's about. It's a way of trying to resolve something inside that hurts you, and that there is a different way. I know more than anyone that there is hope, that no matter how long you've been doing this behavior, no matter how bad it is, you can change. There is hope. You can change the way you relate to yourself, which changes the way you relate to food, as in my example that I told earlier.
Well, we're about out of time, but that's a good way to go into talk a little bit about how, if somebody had more questions or wanted some help, how they could get a hold of you, and a little bit about what all you do. Just take a minute, because I know you do an awful lot.
I do an awful lot. Yes, they can reach me at winthedietwar.com, and through my website they can access my web series, which you can also get on YouTube. It's called The Dr. Nina Show, Lose Weight Without Dieting. They can get my blog, which is called Make Peace with Food, which is more geared towards eating disorders. And there's also a podcast they can get on iTunes called Win the Diet War with Dr. Nina. And I also have a free 3-part video series to help everyone who's just fed up with counting calories and focusing on fat grams and measuring their worth on a bathroom scale. And in this series, I help people figure out what's eating at them, and I teach them how to be less self-conscious about their weight or anything else, and more. And I share the steps they need to crack the code of emotional eating.
Okay, and a phone number that they could call or an email, or do you want them to go to your web pages?
My phone number's on my website. Email is probably the best way to reach me, which is dr.nina@winthedietwar.com.
All right, very good. We got it. Well, this is Lon Woodbury, and we've been talking with Dr. Nina Saville-Rockland, all about cracking the emotional eating code. Cracking the code of emotional eating, that's the wording. Thank you very much. This has been great, and we could have gone on all day. You're just full of information and insights.
Thank you, Lon. It was a pleasure.
Okay, well, very good, and good luck, and you have a really good weekend.
Thank you. You too.